Live at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We got a lot of draft coverage. Luke's doing all sorts of things in Owings Mills. Dennis and I are going to get together and continue to break down Ravens draft picks. But in the meantime, the biggest sporting event in the world, and I don't mean like the Super Bowl or the Masters or something like that. I'm talking about the World Cup is on the hook to come here to Baltimore. And I know this guy is pinching himself, much like a lot of our guests this week. We're trying to come to grips with whether this is real. It's very imminent. In the next 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to know by the end of June whether World Cup games will be played here 4 years from now. Pete Carungi has been selling the gospel of the beautiful game for many, many years. He is the lead dog, the big dog, the coach dog for the dogs over at UMBC. And Final Four, that's a few years ago, but not too long ago. We're not still going to brag about it. From Highland Town to Catonsville and maybe down to the Inner Harbor. Maybe you're Missouri. Yeah, you know what they do? They make them 48 teams now qualify. It makes it easier for Italy to get in. You know that, Petey.
I know that, but unfortunately, they're not in for this year. So,
well, we're not here to talk about this year. No matter who wins this year, it's in Qatar. What do you make of all of this? I mean, where were you on Friday? What do you know about all this? Because I know you've been a little bit in on the steering committee at time to time on all of this. And I don't think anybody wears it on his sleeve or his heart more than you, that if this thing were to happen here, we would be reduced to tears, guys like you and me, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the excitement is, you know, it for me, it's unbelievable because this is the premier sporting event in the world. And to have it here in our hometown would be tremendous. And I was fortunate enough to be, when FIFA came, I was there at our presentation. So I thought we did a really good job, the Baltimore committee / Maryland. And, you know, I'm very hopeful now, especially now that we have DC involved with us. I think that could be the tipping point for us. They really, really were impressed with M&T Stadium. They were actually here, as you know, when Kansas City played us, and the environment that night, the whole stadium, Raven Walk, everything about it. I watched your interview the other day with Grant Wall, and it was a great interview, by the way, with both of you. The only thing I didn't think he understood was that particular night, how great Baltimore came across to that group, the committee, from the Raven Walk to the game, to the just the facility, how it lit up, to the crowd. So it made us all very proud of being a Baltimorean. And, you know, that facility that night really impressed them.
Pete Carungi is our guest. He's, of course, over at UMBC. And we've been at this for a long, long time. Pete's been at games with me at 3 o'clock in the morning 20 years ago down in Canton watching the U.S. play Mexico. I think Pete got up early over at the Hubcap Inn, was part of what we did over there when we played Germany and lost to Oliver Kahn many years ago. You and I watched games together in 06. I went over to Germany. I was at games over there. I was at the Italy-U.S. game in 06 in Kaiserslautern. So, you know, I come at this honest. I threw that party back in 10 when we played England to kick off the World Cup over in Towson. We threw an event. This thing here has been literally 2 decades in the making. Terry Hasseltine gave me a 2022 U.S. I have pictures with you and me. I'm in it. It since has fallen apart. I mean, I got it in 2010. It's been 12 years. I wore it a lot. I washed it a lot. It fell apart. The letters came off it, but it was 22. And then all the corruption, Pete, you know, 18 with Russia, this year with Qatar, bags of money, Chuck Blazer. People can Google all that. Crazy Jack from Trinidad, all that, right? But where we are now, that we're 6 weeks out and there's a possibility of this happening, I know you've been on the inside of this and the guts of this. And the fact that Terry believed and that he's had other believers in the State House that this was possible, at what point did it become maybe clear to you that a combined bid would maybe get this to the finish line? Because Pete, you've been at this a long time. Me too. The Baltimore, Washington don't get together on much. You know what I mean? Like historically, this is a very, very unique set of circumstances. And it's like, I was kidding Steve Goff. I said, I knew eventually you people would need us. Yeah. And it's us with the better stadium. You know, we're going to be the reason DC gets a bid. And then we're going to drink from the nectar of the soccer gods when the games are here.
Well, I think you hit it on the head. I think for the first time, we had the better stadium. Clearly, we have the better stadium. And they were really impressed, as I said, with the presentation. But I do think, you know, to have D.C., look, it's the world's capital. And to have them involved with us is a big plus for both of us. I don't think they were going to get it on their own. I thought we had a shot. But clearly, this makes it a better shot having D.C. with us. From all aspects. I mean, there's, you know, one, it's the capital. Two, they've had experience. I was fortunate to be on their committee, and I worked the games at RFK back when the World Cup was here, and they did a tremendous job. So they know how to run a World Cup. We know we have the facilities. We have the soccer crowd here. The combination of the two, I think, is the reason that will put us over the top. I think individually right now, if we both stayed together or made our presentation, they made their presentation, I think we could have beat them out. But clearly it's a big difference having us both together.
And hey, even from the money standpoint,
I think they have, you know, they can get the money a lot quicker, a lot easier than we can.
So in all of this, your role, I mean, and don't be humble, you know, tell me what you know, where you are, because I've reached to you amongst others. The last time we talked, I think you were at least bullish on the fact that maybe your field and maybe a hotel over by UMBC, maybe the Towson Sheridan and Towson University would be a place where the Moroccan team would put itself, or the team from Denmark would decide they want to be in Baltimore. They would want to train here. I don't want to say that's off the table or whatever, but we're at a whole different level here. If we're talking about having four or six games with 8 to 10 to 12 teams playing literally in downtown Baltimore, where maybe major teams, maybe a big country, a Brazil, an Argentina would want to say, well, we're playing in New Jersey, Baltimore, and Dallas. We'll just base our operation in Maryland, right? Like, that's how we really win here, is by having 4, 6, 8 teams, not just base here, base in Rockville, D.C., up and down the corridor, because of the trains, because of transportation, for fans, for airports, for hotels and infrastructure, above and beyond the stadium, above and beyond flying the flag and any of that stuff. Just location, location, location. We always felt like we had that, right?
Yeah, the proximity to, like you said, you could stay here. You could be here at UMBC, for instance, and be your training site. And you still, I mean, if you had to go to Philadelphia to play a game, it's, you know, it's a bus ride. So clearly, I think the facilities are here. Between Baltimore and Washington, we have enough facilities with the colleges and the training grounds to house teams.
What's being offered, Pete? I mean, you know, let me in on what you can let me in on, but what is being offered? What was our original bid without D.C.? What kind of thing were we saying if we are a host city? What are we giving them?
Well, if we're a host city, we have all the local colleges would have been a possible training site. They did come here. FIFA came here, looked at our facility, looked at our field. They have a lot of standards of what they're up with.
Did you house a famous team recently? Or am I nuts?
No, we've hosted AC Milan here. We've hosted Chelsea. We've hosted the U.S. national team. And the last time it was Tottenham. Tottenham was here, and they all loved our facility. So, you know, I they want some privacy too. You know, they want a facility that it's kind of closed in, and it's a great field, and they want to, you know, it's very serious for them. And then even, you know, close proximity right here to downtown, they're going to stay in a hotel downtown if possible. They're probably going to want to get away a little bit further, because if you get a country, a big country, a well-named country, you're going to have the fans, no matter who it is really, but you're going to have fans trying to get autographs and pictures, et cetera, et cetera. So I can imagine most coaches want to try to get away as far as possible, but they also want to have great accommodations for them. Because of the nature of the event.
Well, and also because you're going to be living there for it's literally a training camp. Think spring training, right? And think that the whole season's a 6-week season. And you're thinking we're moving in. You know, the German team, when they went down to Brazil, they built their own facility and left it behind, like literally. Yeah. Bought a piece of land, built it, and left.
Do, and anything they would do, they would leave it behind. So there's all kind of, you know, options they want. They could come into a training site and ask to build something, and obviously they would leave it. But they also could be moving on. Like, you play the first round preliminary games, so that would be like maybe three games, and the probability after that is they would be moving on. They could be moving on to the next round after the seedings come out. So there's anywhere from, you know, you mentioned how many games, but for one particular country, they could be playing a game in Baltimore, playing a game in New York, playing a game in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia could be the site, and the proximity for us is they could stay there and travel here. So there's a lot of different options. And I think once they decide the cities, we'll start seeing the plan a lot quicker, but clearly they've looked at a lot of different sites all throughout our area in the DC area. And we have enough great facilities here that is very acceptable for the World Cup.
Pete Carinci's here. He is the head coach, the lead dog over at the UMBC and the Mighty Retrievers. Never off season for Coach Carinci, but certainly making some time here to talk some World Cup. Last time we got together, we were over at Beaumont. By the way, Beaumont's got a beautiful brunch. I've been having Sunday brunch over there on the weekends. Just fantastic, beautiful work of art, as I would say, over in Catonsville. For you on the committee, and again, don't be humble about this, what does that mean, like, other than getting the free ticket to the Chiefs game and hanging out with a bunch of poobahs?
Well, I was fortunate, one, to be in the facility when we made the presentation.
How many people were there? What does that look like when you make a formal presentation?
It was probably about 10, 12, 15 FIFA representatives. And we were up in the World Trade Center upstairs, and the mayor was there, the lieutenant governor. One of my players, fortunately, did a really good job, Quantrell Jones, of speaking in behalf of the average soccer fan in Baltimore. I mean, he's a kid that grew up here in Baltimore and played at the U.S. national team level and spoke from the heart of how important it would be for if the World Cup would come to Baltimore. And I thought he did a phenomenal job. And some of the feedback that we got was, these guys are rather impressed that, you know, a college student would get up and just speak on behalf of the city. And, you know, as being a soccer player growing up here, how important the World Cup would be to him and his friends and the soccer community. So I was really impressed, but I was up there with him also. But, you know, it was a great presentation. The city showed well. Obviously, the Inner Harbor is one of the great attractions. Soccer people have come here. You know, one of the big things about Baltimore, a lot of people don't know, is, as you know, the convention, the U.S., one of the biggest conventions in the world, U.S. soccer coaches have their convention here like every 3 or 4 years. And the coaches love it here. They come from all over. They have a great time here. It shows well. And, you know, it is a soccer town, and they've always been impressed. I think the one drawback for us has always been that we don't have a professional team. And we're the only team now that's really left that doesn't have a professional team soccer. And clearly I thought that was a hindrance, but now with DC involved in a merger, I don't see that anymore.
Well, it really is amazing, because I thought if we got into this with DC, they would still play two games at FedEx and we would get two, or, you know, it'd be something, I don't want to say a kiss on the cheek, but sort of like a kiss on the cheek, you know, and I don't know, just something small. The way this has been portrayed to me is the mall would be the place where the parties and the televisions and all of that would be. And obviously with the diplomats, all the consulates down there, all the, all the international flavor of all of that. And then the idea would be just how close we are when you consider you can walk 8 blocks to Union Station, get on a train, get on a MARC train, and in 35 minutes on a nonstop train, be let off at Camden Yards, literally in the parking lot. It would be better than driving. And all they would need to do is put trains on a track that already runs every day. And we don't think of it like that, because we've never said, hey, DC, come up here and be a part of something we're putting an event on. But I'll tell you this, I've never been to an event like the Chelsea AC Milan game. Now, we're going back, you know, a dozen years now, right? I've never seen a harder ticket downtown. I've never seen a bigger night downtown. You could not get a ticket to see Ronaldinho play that night. I think I bumped into you that night. And those kinds of events for the soccer community, that Gold Cup, the games we've had here, Man City, the whole thing, the fact that we've done it and that over the course of time that has now stood up in the way that maybe that goofy exhibition game we played for the NFL back in the 90s didn't mean anything. It feels like a lot of these things meant something, that putting these events on, selling them out, and having the city, as you said, show well, that will work in our favor in a way that FedEx Field putting on Argentina and Brazil and having guys complain about the pitch and the pitch not being the right size and it not being near a freeway and nobody could get in, nobody could get out, everybody hated it, that experience in DC has really led to an incredible opportunity for us to steal this thing, I think.
Oh, you hit it right on the head. I mean, it clearly comes down, our biggest sell right now is that stadium, how well it showed, how the proximity of getting in and getting out. Like you said, they can drive down from Philly. They can drive up from D.C. They can take the train. It showed well that night. I think they were really impressed. And it is impressive. I mean, we take things for granted, but when it's all lit up and, you know, and it's sold out, and that's what it's going to be for the World Cup, it showed really well. And that's a big difference between watching a soccer game up here than right now watching FedEx. I mean, FedEx is, you know, I'm not trying to disrespect the D.C. area, but clearly right now that stadium is not up to par for a World Cup.
Well, and FIFA felt that way, right? I mean, like, literally, that's not us being provincial or anti-Dan Snyder or Commanders or any of that stuff. It's just that's a reality of the upkeep of all this. Pete Carinci's here from UMBC. We're talking about the World Cup, and we'll get back to Ravens, and we got draft picks, and the Ravens aren't going to play for six more months. But this is going to happen in the next 6 to 8 weeks. I'm vibing the end of June from what Grant Wall and Steve Goff. I've given me a chance to reach out to Kenny Cooper this week, a coach. Give me a chance to reach out to you. Talk to soccer.
Everybody. Good. You're back in your old soccer talk. Good.
You know,
the nasty soccer hour coming up.
I mean, well, I'll tell you what, if we get the World Cup here.
Once we get the World Cup.
Is this beyond your, even what you could have envisioned that it could happen? Like, I'm wondering, like, honestly, Petey, if I get a text and somebody says there's a press conference in New York, because Grant Wall said the press conference will be in New York, right? If I go up to New York, you and I get on a train, get on a mega bus, get in a car, pay a toll, that you and I would go together up to New York to this event. I would love to do it. And be in New York City when they hold up a card that says Baltimore, Washington, you're getting six games and we're getting all six of them or four, whatever it would be. I don't know what to equate it to other than getting the Ravens. You know what I mean? Like, we got the Ravens and I celebrated that. And it was a little muted because we had stolen the Browns or whatever. Dude, we ain't ever getting a Super Bowl here. If we ever get a baseball All-Star game, the thing doesn't mean anything anymore. Right. And it doesn't mean anything. And we're never, if we luck into an AFC championship game, cause Lamar razzle dazzles and we win the right, you know, like maybe that would happen, but that wouldn't even, it's nice. I'm not peeing on an AFC championship game that we haven't had here since 1971. But I would say that this would be so outside of the Pope coming and whatever else great that is ever Super Bowl parades we've had here. Wonderful. But just from economic impact and for what a big event is, for whatever the Grammys, the Oscars, your Masters, your Preakness, your Derby, whatever you want to call any of that, this is so exponentially larger with potentiality than anything we've ever had here other than the football team and the baseball team itself.
This is the world. This is the world watching, the world coming. It is the biggest event. As I said, I was fortunate to be in DC, and I was actually in the locker rooms on the field, the World Cup, and it's the greatest spectacle that you, I mean, Nestor, I get chills thinking about.
I've seen three World Cup games in person.
I was fortunate enough to go to the World Cup final in LA, and I can tell you Baltimore is, and you know, I'm a big Baltimore sports fan, the old Colts, the Orioles, the everything, Ravens. But this would be probably the biggest sporting event that we could host because the whole world's watching and the whole world's coming. I mean, people from all over the world will be here. It'll be a great shot for our city, and it needs it, and it deserves it. So clearly, your show is Baltimore Positive, and I can't think of any more positive thing to come than this event. And for a lot of us soccer people who grew up, you know, hoping to U.S. ever being in the World Cup back when we were kids, and we used to travel. I remember all us from Hallentown, we used to get a ride and drive over to D.C. and go into a hall, like a movie theater, and watch the games on the screen. And that's the only way we could see the World Cup games. And unless it was the 66 final, it was on ABC, Live World of Sports. And to think now, one, I actually was in the locker room with these Italy. I was in the locker room with Mexico and was on the field with those guys. And now we'd be hosting it in our own city. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And far from an athletic event, it's far outreaches anything that we can ever even imagine. And most people would not know that until...
That's why I'm being a nut about this, Pete. That's why people are like, you're not talking enough about the draft and your Ravens. I'm like, you know, no offense to the 14th pick. No offense to Eric DaCosta this week. And I'm all about it. I'm all drafted up. I got draft coverage out at the wazoo. But this is a once in a lifetime. I've been on the radio 31 years. If you would have ever told me that there would be a chance in 6 weeks that you and I could go to New York, and I really do want to go. Like, if there is a draw media-wise that I can get into, that I can physically
know where we ought to go. I went last time to the draw when they have the actual, once the teams are all picked, the World Cup draw. I mean, it was,
Oh my God.
I went to that. It was in Vegas, and it was, I mean, this year I hear Nashville has a shot of doing that.
I think. I don't want to be group of death though.
Yeah, no, I just want to be in it.
Well, this is going to be a beautiful thing, and I appreciate you lending some history to it, our history, your history, the city's history, and bringing this full circle. I know Grant Wall, you know, made a case, and there's a case to be made. There's real math here, right? I mean, I can pull these cities up, and you're not going to make a case against Dallas or against Miami or against LA or against New York. And probably you're not going to make a case against Boston at this point with Kraft, or you're not going to make a case against Kansas City with Lamar Hunt and the Hunt family, although they're based more Dallas on the soccer side. So there are shoo-ins. Seattle is the biggest soccer community in the country, probably at this point, right? Historically, maybe St. Louis, Jersey, other Baltimore, Dallas, other places, but Seattle right now is where it draws more than any other place. And then you've got the Canadian, the Mexico contingent, but Atlanta, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Nashville, Denver, Houston, they all have to lose for us to win.
Boston,
Santa Clara is in. Well, you figure that those are in those places. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to count to 10. And how do we get to 10? Because that's what we need to do.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at it like you are. And I do think that the Washington situation has helped us tremendously. We would have been a real, real big underdog, even though it was a great presentation, if Washington wasn't in. But I think now that sways them to probably want to put us in because, like I said, they did like the presentation and the fact that you have the capital of the world and in a traditional soccer town. I mean, every time anything has ever happened in this country, D.C. has been part of that World Cup. They've been part of the leagues. Like Baltimore, initially, but people don't know, and all the leagues when they first started, Baltimore always had teams in it. And this has been a big soccer town going back to the 50s. Unfortunately, now we need some people to step up with a little bit of money to put us in because the fans are here and the players are here. We have the history here in Baltimore with soccer. Right now, when you mention them other cities, the biggest difference is, and we have the football stadium that can host a World Cup. When you think of those other stadiums, other places, there's always that one person who kind of pushes them over the top. Kansas City, the difference is the Hunts, you know, the Crafts in Boston. Right now, we have a great soccer history tradition. We have big name people in this town, but we don't have them right now behind MLS. With the money. So that's the difference. And clearly, I think the D.C. situation will help us And that's why I'm more confident now than I was before DC merged with us.
Pete Carinci here, getting excited. I'm getting excited. We're a couple of weeks away from Nome, but we're going to be covering the Orioles and the Ravens and all that good stuff, even a little bit of lacrosse here as we get into May. Pete, it's always a pleasure to have you on. What's going on over in Catonsville? Give me a little UMBC update. You had athletic directors. We had Dr. Rabowski's going. I mean, you know, things are changing over there in Catonsville.
Things are changing day by day, Nestor. Hang on. We had a great spring from a soccer standpoint. We played 5 games. We went 4-1, have our whole team back from last year. So we're kind of excited about the team and the season and looking forward to that and trying to get our field back because we played lacrosse, a couple of lacrosse games on our soccer field, and we're hoping that comes back around. Other than that, guys will be finishing up now and getting ready to go back home for the summer, academically doing well. And Brian Barrio is doing a heck of a job over here. A lot going on, some construction. So good things are happening. And obviously, Dr. Hrabowski leaving will be a sad time for all of us because he did have an impact on, I think, everyone that worked over here. And, you know, the reason I'm here today, still here, after all these years, is his impact on me and how he got involved with my career. So he's a special person, and we're clearly going to miss him.
Well, it's special to me and Don and, you know, all of Catonsville, the whole community, quite frankly. I don't think he's old enough to retire, and I'm going to tell him that when I see him. So I almost saw him over the weekend at Patterson. He was a part of the Patterson event over there at Highlandtown and the Willy Wonka thing at the Patterson Arts. He's getting honored over there. I saw that.
He didn't even know where Highlandtown was. I had to tell him. Jeez.
Man, you sent him over for some Chaucer, some Matthew's Pizza. You sent him up right, didn't you?
Send them up right. Yep.
Hey, Petey, I appreciate you. And I've never had I had a few joyous conversations with you when you're in the Final Four and doing things like that. But this is a big one. This is really a big one. And I don't want to lose sight of it. And it's not something so far out that we can't touch it. Yeah. That 6 or 8 weeks from now, we're going to have word. And if we get word, then you got a 4-year ramp up to really inform people here about what this is going to represent. You know, Pete, it's going to make me want to live 4 more years. I'll tell you that.
You have to. You're going to have to ramp it up soccer-wise here, all of us, because if we get it, we're going to have to get the word out for sure.
But I appreciate all you've done. Bring a ball over. We'll kick it around out in the field, out back.
I always appreciate what you've done for soccer. And, you know, I've always been a big soccer fan and a big soccer, Baltimore soccer supporter. So thank you for all your work throughout the years. And I'm glad that you're back here getting this thing started for the World Cup, because I haven't heard much from the media so far about this.
You know, one thing I never get is the football team ever come over and says, thank you very, very much for supporting football and loving. It's always the soccer guys and the hockey guys. Hey, you know, I'll give you an old story. Gene Ubriaco, all my old hockey guys, you know, Trotz, all those guys that are my friends, they would always say, Gene would say it in his Canadian Italian thing, you're a hockey guy. Never forget that. You're a hockey guy. You like the sport, you know. So soccer was the same thing. It always felt like.
I think you're the soccer guy. So.
And it's true. You know what? I'm really a baseball guy, and the football people think I'm a football guy. So actually, they think I'm a civic advocate, because I am. And this is, there's no more civic advocacy that I can do. There's nothing more Baltimore positive than thinking at some point World Cup games are going to be played here. That just, it blows my mind to think that I'm even allowed to get excited about it. I mean, I will be disappointed now. I told Wall, all these guys, don't go getting me excited. That, you know, and Steve Goff at the Washington Post, Steve Goff is like, why would they have come to D.C. and said, get the football stadium from Baltimore in and we'll figure this out with you guys, that it's kind of a done deal. I don't want to think that. That's too crazy for me.
Because it could change like that.
I don't want to but I am very, very spirited about this now. And I think with good reason that if I were going to bet a dollar on it or against it for the first time, I would bet a dollar on it because of this DC thing and thinking they want us in, you know, they want DC in, they're going to want the Inner Harbor and Fort McHenry. They're going to like it. They're going to think this is good. This is better playing the game in downtown Baltimore than it is playing it down there. Yeah.
All right, Nestor, we got to get ready. You're getting me fired up. I can't get fired up till they tell us, and then we're going to go to New York, and then we're going to the draw, wherever the draw is, because that's the greatest That was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. So.
Well, look, man, if you find some Italian champagne, if there is such a thing, I know there's not, but we need some American champagne. Maybe that's beer. I don't know. What would American champagne be? I don't know. Orange juice. Either way.
I'll find it.
If this happens, I want to be somewhere special doing something special with special people. So I need to know wherever – we need to have a gathering, a celebration gathering.
I'll let you know. I know exactly where it'll be. Can't announce it yet, but you'll be there.
All right, good. Will there be cold beer at a reasonable price?
Cold beer for no price. Don't worry about it.
Even better. All right. Petey's buying. I love that. Pete Carinci over at UMBC, the head coach, the lead dog, and, of course, head advocate for all things FIFA World Cup 2026 coming here to Baltimore. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I'm going to be at Conrad Seafood in Perry Hall. By the way, Pete Carinci is probably very familiar with Perry Hall. We're going to be there on the 6th of May. I'm giving away some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets, all courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. And play responsibly. And don't forget our friends at Goodwill Industries as well, sponsoring us. Put some spring bags together. Give some stuff. That's what we did over the week. I haven't given it yet. I've got it all piled up in a closet out here. And then also our friends at Window Nation. New sponsorship beginning in May. I'm going to be telling you all about windows and getting them replaced, because it's what they do, and they do it better than anybody. WindowNation.com. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Go ahead.
What time are you going to be up Conrad's?
Two to five in the afternoon on Friday the 6th. Come on, please, come on by.
Come out and get a crab cake.
Get two. All right, beautiful. Nice. I'll get some French fries with that, maybe a little salad, a little soup. I love it. Pete Carinci, my man. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.